A Practical Guide to WordPress and the GPL. Chapter 9. The GPL and Trademarks. Introduction. At one point, a reader of WP and Legal Stuff encouraged me to say something about the distinction between the copyright permissions granted under the GPL and the rights that a trademark owner may have in the name or brand by which the GPL software is known. I suspect this is an important topic for some commercial plugin owners and possibly the owners of commercial theme shops. So here we go. GPL is designed to cover code. The freedoms granted under the GPL over the program, usually the code, do not apply to any trademark that the owner has in relation to the program. To put it another way, the use of a trademark in connection with GPL software, without more, does not mean the trademark owner has lost its trademark-related rights. To the contrary, in certain circumstances, another person's use of the trademark without permission may amount to trademark infringement. A real-life example. Higher Regional Court of Dusseldorf. For example, in a German case that has been helpfully summarized in English by Anthonia Zimmerman and in an open-source text by Noam Shemtov, a company released e-commerce software under the GPL with a brand for which it owned a trademark. Another developer came along and developed, among other things, a module for the software, as it was entitled to do from a copyright perspective under the terms of the GPL. However, this developer used the distinctive element of the company's trademark as part of the name for its module. The company argued that this amounted to trademark infringement and sought an injunction to prevent the developer from using the trademark as part of the name for its module. After an unsuccessful effort in the first instance court, on appeal, the Higher Regional Court of Dusseldorf granted injunctive relief for infringement of the company's trademark rights. As Zimmerman describes it, the court pointed out that under Article 12, CTMR, Community Trademark Regulation, a distributor of services, accessories, and spare parts is not permitted to create the misleading impression of a commercial relation between himself and the trademark owner. The defendant, therefore, should have emphasized that XT Commerce, the company's brand for the software, is a third-party trademark used by him merely for describing the intended purpose of his own offer. Shemtov explains how the company argued that a permission to market software updates under the trademarked original name could not be derived from the GPL, and how the appellate court agreed with this assessment. Shemtov provides a translation of a key part of the court's judgment. The GPL governs only the copyright aspects of the use of a computer program. Provisions regarding the use of trademarks are not contained within this set of rules. An implied right to use the trademark does not arise. The permission to use the copyright does not run empty, or I'd say is not negated, without permitting the use of the trademark. The beneficiary is able to market the legally produced program under a different, own name. Takeaway. The moral of this particular story, then, is be careful how you describe your extension of, plugin for, or fork of GPL software whose name is a trademark in your jurisdiction, or the services you may provide in relation to such software. For example, if you were to get your hands on Gravity Forms, Rocket Genius Inc. has a trademark in the name, and adapted to support front-end custom post type submission out of the box. Sorry, couldn't resist. You shouldn't really go and release and sell it as either Gravity Forms or Gravity Forms Plus. Unless, of course, Carl and the crew were happy with that. I suspect you'd find out fairly promptly and directly that happiness is not the emotion they'd be feeling. Selling others' commercial plugins in which trademarks exist. There is another broad scenario that a reader asked me about. The scenario, which I've adapted slightly, is this. A WordPress shop, SuperDuper WP, develops a commercial plugin. Let's call it SuperDuper Plugin. SuperDuper WP applies for and is granted a trademark in the name SuperDuper Plugin. An enterprising young chap comes along and either makes SuperDuper plugin available on his site for free with the provision of free support, or sells it on his site, full stop and without suggesting he's the plugin author, or makes it available for free but provides paid support for it with a suggestion he's affiliated to SuperDuper WP. And let's also assume that, to get updates and support for the plugin from the genuine owner, you need a product registration number, Gravity Form style. Now, I don't profess to be a multi-jurisdictional trademark expert, but from all the reading I've done, I feel fairly comfortable in saying the following. Free download and free support. Making the 100% GPL'd plugin available for free on a site with free support, where there is no element of trade and no confusion as to any association with the genuine owner, may not amount to trademark infringement, the main reason being that the person doing this is not in trade or commerce. Why the enterprising young chap would do this, though, is beyond me. Doesn't seem very enterprising. Users might not be able to get updates, and the said young chap would have to both learn the codebase and be pretty altruistic. Probably unlikely in practice. Personally, I like to buy plugins and themes from outfits I trust. There's a potential twist to this scenario. Let's say the plugin zip file that is uploaded to the free site contains detailed help documentation crafted by the plugin author, as many themes and some plugins do these days. The GPL relates primarily to code, not documentation or other forms of works, and so the freedom it gives people may not extend to the documentation. Copying that documentation without consent could amount to copyright infringement. So even if there's no trademark infringement, copyright infringement might have occurred. I've not overlooked the fact that the GPL can be made to apply to documentation, among other things, but the real question is whether, in a given case, that has been done, either at all or effectively. Sale with no support, etc. Where the enterprising young chap merely sells SuperDuper plugin on his site, with no product registration number, no support, and no access to updates, people wouldn't be getting what they'd get if they were to purchase the plugin from SuperDuper WP. In other words, arguably what they'd get is materially different from what they'd get from SuperDuper WP. In these circumstances, the trademark owner may be able to argue that this results in confusion to consumers and dilution of its trademark. If the version of SuperDuper plugin released for sale were an old version, perhaps with bugs or security holes, that might strengthen the argument. Depending on his country, the enterprising young chap might argue that SuperDuper plugin had already been sold, such that the first sale doctrine or exhaustion of rights defense applies. In a nutshell, this defense says that if you've sold a copy of a good whose name is a trademark, the purchaser may onsell the genuine article without infringing the trademark. The potential problem with this argument, though, is that the young chap might not, in fact, for legal purposes, be selling the same genuine article. Even if no change was made to the code base, material differences might be found to exist in the differences relating to product registration, product support, and access to updates. There are U.S. cases that would appear to support this line of argument. See, for example, R. Payne, Dealing with Unauthorized Online Dealers, Sales of Genuine Products, 2014. A. Pi, IP Exhaustion, The Increasingly Important First Sale Doctrine, 2014. N. Kalaru and M. Summers, Removal of UPC Labels Subverts Trademark Owner Quality Controls and Constitutes Material Difference, 2010. I. D. Prutzman and F. Stenschol, The Exhaustion Doctrine in the United States, 2013. And Softman Products Go versus Adobe Systems Incorporated, 00-04161, CD Cal Act 22, 2001. Free download, paid support, suggested affiliation. In the third scenario, our enterprising young chap makes the SuperDuper plugin available for free, but provides paid support for it with a suggestion he's affiliated to SuperDuper WP. In this scenario, the young chap will have gone too far. Trademark infringement is highly likely. He'll be committing the tort of passing off in countries where that tort exists, and he could be breaching fair trading laws.